Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Expert Audio interview. Today, we're joined by business broker Greg Kells, president of Sunbelt Business Brokers, Inc., Canada, master franchisor for Sunbelt with 34 offices in Canada, 5 in Brazil, and 1 in Paris. Greg started the Canadian operations of Sunbelt Business Brokers in 2002. Thanks so much for being here today, Greg.
Well, it's nice to be here. Hope it's helpful to people.
Likewise. So, briefly describe what you do now. How did you get to where you are today?
Well, I owned numerous businesses over many years. I'm old. And at 9/11, I was developing an online, technology-focused magazine. I was the chairman of a company called Next Wave. We produced a TV show with Leonard Nimoy. It was on future technology and how it'll affect people's lives, etc. It was hugely successful. However, when we saw the buildings going down, I said, oh, time to go into reruns because our clients aren't going to spend money on us in the next few years. They're going to spend it all on security. And sure enough, they did, so I was glad I got into business brokerage. Because I had owned numerous businesses, I'd also been the chairman of the Canadian Institute for Conflict Resolution, which meant I taught the Harvard negotiating program and mediation courses, etc. All those skills were useful in business brokerage. And at one stint in my life, I'd helped Native entrepreneurs in Canada in Native reserves to open and operate businesses. And in fact, I think we'd opened 50 businesses that were Native owned and operated. And 47 of them were successful. At that point, I decided I wanted to do something that prospered in both good times and bad. I've been in real estate development, the high-tech industry. Every business it seemed that I was in, our success was in part beyond our control. You know, we're subject to what happens with the economy, and I never had a sort of a crystal ball so that I could read ahead.
No.
And and I owned the Rockport Boat Lines in the Thousand Islands, which was in tourism. You know, in all these industries, there are circumstances outside your control that have a huge impact on your success. And I figured business brokerage, when times are tough, people still have to sell. When times are good, people want to sell. So it would be the kind of business where there might be little ups and downs through economic changes, but you could be successful even in bad times. And so I went online and I did some research. I identified what were the 4 largest, most successful business brokerage networks. I spent at least an hour on the phone with the presidents of each, decided 2 of them were not truthful, and the other 2 had systems that were quite different. So I hopped in my car and drove to Charleston and spent a week with Ed Pendarvis at Sunbelt Business Brokers with the intention that if I wasn't entirely happy at the end of the week, I was going to drive to Plano, Texas, and spend a week with Business Brokers Network. I was happy with what I found in Charleston, and I ended up buying a franchise for Ottawa from Ed for Sunbelt, and I came back and opened an office. And I think I opened in February of 2002. And after some little problems with licensing, we didn't know we needed a license when we opened, and I had 20 folks working for me before we were advised by the government that we all needed to have licenses. So that set us back a little bit, but anyway, we got going again, and things went well. I think I sold 30 businesses that first year, and I thought, gee, this is not bad. So I bought a couple more franchises. I bought Montreal and Toronto and Victoria, and we seemed to prosper, and so then I bought a master franchise for all of Canada, and I opened 34 offices across the country, did the training and support for each one of them. Meanwhile, continuing to sell businesses here in Ottawa and build our Ottawa office. And that went well, so I ended up buying some international franchises, and that's how I got started opening in Brazil and France. In Ottawa, we have 20 staff in the office. We totally dominate our local market, and by dominate, I mean we sell more businesses than everybody else put together. And I think we pretty consistently do that right across the country. I'm not sure we do it in every city, but certainly we do it overall for Canada.
What made you decide to join a franchise? Why?
There's so much to learn in this business. Firstly, forms and training and mentoring and IT support, websites, all the rest of it. It's a very complex business to get started in. And I looked at it and said, geez, it would cost me a bundle to put all of the stuff together that I need to have to be successful. If I want a quick start, I'm better off to buy a franchise. And that's what I did. And I don't regret it. Having bought the franchise, I did get a quick start and got quick success.
And how does the franchise work? Do they have ownership and, you know, part of what you do, or how does
that? No, but I pay them every month. They don't have ownership, but I pay them fees every month. And they provide IT support. We've built our own website for Canada this year, but up until this year, I operated entirely on the IT systems provided by Sunbelt. They moved their head office from South Carolina to Cleveland. Up until probably a month ago, we entirely used their IT support. And I've worked with them, and we've put together online training programs so that training's available when people need it. And you know, we hold regular conferences where we talk about best practices and try to help each other, everybody in the network. Mm-hmm. Also, I joined the IBBA early on, and I found the training there very helpful. That's the International Business Brokers Association. Mm-hmm. And I've been to just about every meeting for the last 10 years. And every time I go, I learn something. So that's been quite valuable. I joined the M&A Source because we also do mergers and acquisitions, and that's been very helpful as well. So I think all the kind of support services and organizations around have enabled us to be successful and to grow faster than we would have otherwise.
Mm. So you're a supporter of continuing education?
Absolutely. It's a never-ending task. You've got to keep getting better or you die.
Mm-hmm. So let's maybe take a step back. I'm curious what business analysis is and maybe how that differs from business brokerage, or if they're...
Okay, well, let's back up, and first I'll tell you what business brokerage is.
Okay.
Okay, it's bringing buyers and sellers together, and we provide an invaluable assistance in recasting their financials to determine the true earnings of the business, research on comparable businesses, valuation, business valuation, packaging, developing the marketing packages that we'll use to sell the business, doing the marketing, educating both buyers and sellers. We have a great process that we evolved over the years, which works really well for us. And, of course, we educate both our buyers and sellers about the process and how to work through it. We manage the negotiation, and it's all done through the broker. And if it wasn't, they would not be friends after the deal was done because they've got opposing goals. Mm-hmm. Doing it through the broker, they like each other when the deal's done, and they're happy to work together. Mm-hmm. So we provide leadership throughout the whole process, and, of course, we help them with financing as well. We manage the expectations of both buyer and seller, which I think is an important part of the process. And, of course, we source the resources that they need. Quite often, it's not just us. We're a team leader, and we've got lawyers and accountants and wealth planners and business coaches, et cetera, all playing a role in the process. We typically understand the buyer's needs. We go through an elaborate intake process with the buyer. Once we understand them and what they're looking for and what will work for them, then we try to match that with the available business opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we work with the sellers to create optimal selling conditions. You know, put the business in the best shape possible before you take it to market.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with buyers to create optimal purchasing conditions for them, and that means sourcing financing, educating them well, perhaps bringing in partners or private equity groups to work with them in an acquisition. And so we end up educating, coaching, negotiating, and leading throughout the entire process. In all of our offices, we are dual agents. We end up representing both buyers and sellers. And so it's always a delicate balance because we owe full disclosure to both, and I've got to make sure that the deals work for both the buyer and seller. If it doesn't work for one of them, it doesn't work at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of what the business brokerage process is. So when you talk about business analysis, well, when you're looking at a business and trying to determine what are the value drivers for this business, how well are they doing on those things, you know, what steps should they be taking in order to maximize business value in the short term? Those sorts of things get into business analysis. And, of course, ending up with some kind of a model that you can compare to their industry. If you're selling a restaurant, for example, you've got to know what all the standards are for that type of restaurant. You know, what's normally the labor costs, food costs, rent, et cetera, all through, and how does that compare with the target that you're working with?
How did you become, how did you gain such a knowledge in business brokerage? What was your process there? Was it education or experience or both?
Well, I took both, and it takes both. I had owned numerous businesses in the past and been quite successful as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a lot of varied experiences in different industries. Having been the chairman of the Canadian Institute for Conflict Resolution, I understood negotiation. I, back in 96, was a candidate to be the leader in Ontario, be the equivalent of a governor, I guess, in the U.S. So I had lots of public speaking experience.
Mm.
And, you know, it sort of put all those together and then combine it with, and I took every course. I probably spent more time on taking courses over those first few years than anybody else. I'm just a real suck for every bit of training I can get. And I also have a tendency to be a workaholic, and so I tended to work like 12 or 14 hours a day instead of 8, which meant everything happens in half the time.
What skills do you find are necessary to be successful in business brokerage and analysis?
The number one skill that you need is the ability to inspire confidence. If you don't inspire confidence from others, no matter how hard you work at business brokerage, you won't be successful. You might be successful in business analysis, but you certainly won't. The level of trust that's necessary between the buyer and the broker and between the seller and the broker is huge. And you cannot get to the end goals for your buyer and seller if they don't trust you and work with you through the process.
Mm.
So that's the number one thing that you need. You know, there are numerous other skills that are important. But if you don't have that one, and I don't know how to teach that one, okay? And if you don't have it, you just don't end up succeeding.
Right.
So I try when we're recruiting to assess, okay, Do they have that ability? Do they inspire trust? And I don't trust my own judgment, so I always make sure that at least two or three of us interview a prospective broker, and then we compare notes.
What else do you look for when you're hiring? Are there certain other skill sets?
Well, I look... Okay. You see, different types of people can be successful in this industry. We don't all have to be clones of one another. I've got some folks who work with me who are very successful, who are analytics. You know, they're very detailed-oriented. They're great with numbers. They got great computer skills. They're good analysts. And as a business analyst, they would do well. And then I've got others who really aren't very good at those things, but they got great people skills. They read people well. They inspire confidence. They provide leadership. They're good mentors and guides, even though they don't have the technical skills. And you can be successful either type, providing that you got that ability to inspire confidence. Integrity, to me, is the number one requirement to be successful in this business. You've got to be doing what's in the best interest of the client and not what's in your best interest. We work on a few sort of simple cultural rules, the golden rule being the number one, that is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Mm-hmm. And so treat every one of those prospective buyers and sellers as you'd like to be treated if it was you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their objectives come first. You have to be good at communication. You've got to be able to set the expectations of both the buyer and the seller, and that means you've got to communicate effectively.
Do you train on communication skills, or is that something you look for already to be present?
I look for it, but we also do training on it because every one of us can get better. I'm a big believer in measuring results. You know, communicate expectations, measure results. And the way we operate, we try to track. If you think about business brokerage, there's a series of steps, and they all have relationships to one another. To get a close, you probably need to have at least two offers. Well, you need at least two accepted offers. One of them's going to fall apart in diligence, or one of them's going to back out. Well, to get two accepted offers, you probably need four offers. To get four offers, you probably needed 10 pretty hot buyers. And so you can work back through the numbers. And the process, when we're working with a seller or a buyer, we've got very well-established steps. And I'm able to measure the conversion rate at each step so that I can see where people are having problems. And then you can step in and give them more training and more help and tutoring or on-the-job coaching in that particular area where they're having a problem. You know, it may be from when we get the first phone call to setting up the first meeting with the seller. It may be at that meeting getting to, you know, the second step, which would be an engagement. It may be getting from the engagement to, you know, collecting all the data that's necessary to do a proper valuation in a proper package. It may be the buyer-seller meetings that, you know, aren't resulting in offers from the buyers. And so you can kind of track and measure every one of these functions through the business brokerage process. And that enables me to know who needs help where.
Say, for example, I wanted to be a business broker. Now, yes. My background is more on the marketing side. What tips would you have for me to maybe gain some experience in order
to... Well, the first question I'd ask is, have you ever owned and run a business?
If my answer was yes, how would that proceed?
That would help, okay?
Okay.
Because that means you're going to understand the mindset of the small business owner and the things that they go through, because you've been there. So that's a big help. And I can say that 90%+ of our brokers have owned their own business before. Many of them have owned two or three businesses in the past.
Mm.
The next thing I'd look at is, well, do you have good financial skills?
Mm.
If the answer is yes, I might say, well, why don't you work with us in business analysis or business valuation for a while? And through that process, we'll teach you business brokerage and you'll get more experience. We do a valuation, a formal valuation, on every business that we're taking to market. And we do it internally. I've got a staff here whose full-time job is just doing business appraisal.
Mm.
So assuming that you didn't have great financial skills, but your background was marketing and sales, that's okay. We can work with that. It just means I'm going to have to do a lot of mentoring as we develop your business brokerage skills. So what would I do? I'd get you taking as many courses in business brokerage as you could from as many sources as you could.
Mm.
You'd take the Sunbelt training program online. You'd take a week of training with me in a classroom. I'm also an instructor for the IBBA, and I'll probably have you sit through a week of additional training while I teach you the technical skills to do business pricing and recasting of financials and that sort of thing. Once we get through that, we'll run you through a bunch more courses, learning how to manage the relationship with buyers and sellers and the buyer-seller meetings, etc. By the time you're finished our training program, you'll have been probably 3 months or more, and you'll have basic fundamentals to get you started. We'll then start doing calls together. And you know, the first five all do, and you just sit there like a bump on a log and say nothing. And the next five you're going to do, and I'm going to sit there and say nothing. And after each call, we'll talk about how it went, what we did, why, et cetera. And I think through that process, if I do, you know, five engagement calls where we're meeting with potential sellers, and if I do five buyer intakes with you, and you do five that I sit through, by the time we're done 10 of each of those, you'll have a pretty good handle on how to do this yourself.
Mm.
And I think that that mentoring on the job is really important, and you need that after the training. In my experience, it takes about 18 months from when you start until you're pretty competent doing an excellent job for your clients on your own.
Mm.
It's not a two-week and you're, you know, great at doing the job.
Right. Well, for someone who wanted to do something more independent, what are some tips you have for finding that first client to give you that experience?
Without the experience of having worked for someone else in business brokerage and without having been part of a larger team and getting that support, I'd tell them they're nuts. I would tell them their odds of success were pretty slim. They might make it, and if they, you know, join the IBBA, take all the courses that they can find, etc., and if they're not dependent on the business for their income for the first year or two, they'll probably survive.
Mm.
It's not easy to do this on your own.
Right.
You know, in my office with 20 people, I've got, in the Ottawa, so I've got four people who work in business analysis and business appraisal. I've got a group of people who do business brokerage. Well, they're supported by that group, which makes them a lot more effective. There are roles for specialists. Now, if I was going to be a business broker and I was starting out on my own, and I wasn't part of Sunbelt, and I didn't have a mentor, et cetera, I would try to focus on one industry, and I would try to find whoever was the very best business broker in that industry and see if they wouldn't share with me their experience and knowledge. And then I'd stick to that one industry as I was getting started. You know, if you picked hospitality industry, maybe, I'd go and talk to Charlie Perkins in Boston. He's a huge success in that industry. If I'm picking a generalist, probably come to me. But there are a lot of people throughout North America who are very good in specific aspects of business brokerage. There are people who run great offices. I'd probably go and offer to work in one for 6 months and hope that I could learn from what they're doing.
Mm. Do you find that people would be receptive that way?
I think so. There's no reason not to be. I mean, if you've got somebody who wants to learn the business, looks like they have the skills and the experience to be successful at it, why not? You'll end up with an ongoing long-term relationship, even if it's only trading deals back and forth.
Mm-hmm. How does Sunbelt go about, or maybe you in particular, finding new clients?
Oh, we have a whole, well, all right, I'll tell you. I advertise on the radio every morning in drive time.
Okay.
I run a full-page article in the major newspaper every week, an educational article on some aspect of buying or selling a business.
Okay.
I advertise in 4 ethnic newspapers with educational articles every issue, and I think they come out every 2 weeks. I run seminars on a regular basis where we invite business owners or prospective business buyers and spend the time educating them. An educated buyer is a great buyer.
Mm.
We do direct mail to business owners, inviting them to contact us if they're interested in selling their business in the near future or the next 3 to 5 years. I run exit planning seminars for sellers who aren't ready now but have time to work on the things that will add value to their business. And I do that in conjunction with accountants, lawyers, wealth planners, money managers, insurance companies, and business coaches. You know, I've put together sort of an exit planning team. We work as a group to help each other. All of those things. I also do an hour-long radio program on a major radio station on Saturdays. I think I do that about once a month. And a number of TV appearances on business shows to talk about why you'd want to get into a small business or what to consider before you're ready to get out.
Hmm. Do you have a top 3 list of tips for someone looking to be successful in this area?
Well, first thing is take as many courses as you can. Learn as much as you can, as fast as you can.
Hmm.
Second thing is always put the client's objectives first. I've only ever had to fire 3 people. I have like 200 brokers across Canada. I've only ever had to fire 3, and it was always for the same issue, and it was when they were dishonest, when they were not acting in the best interest of the client or being dishonest with the others in their office.
Mm.
So integrity is critically important.
Mm-hmm.
Money is the reward for doing the job well. If you focus on the money, you'll screw it up. Focus on doing the job well.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestions were take all the courses you can, learn as much as you can. Get a mentor to help and advise you. Do calls with them. You know, try to learn from a live person who will take the time to help you develop. The next bit is never stop marketing. There's a tendency amongst business brokers. They get busy with the deals in progress, and then instead of continuing their efforts to develop new engagements, they let that slide while they're focused on getting deals closed. And the result is, after they got the deals closed, they got nothing to do. So you got to keep marketing. In fact, I tell my guys, you got to devote at least an hour every day to your marketing efforts to get new engagements. The business is driven by listings, by your engagements. It is not driven by getting to buyers. The buyers will find you if you have the businesses available. Mm. And, of course, the web has changed this business dramatically in the last 10 years. They find us on the Internet now. They used to find us in the newspaper. I don't even advertise in those little classifieds anymore. Nobody's reading them.
Is that where you find, used cars and dogs?
Well, you used to find job opportunities and business opportunities. today, everybody goes online. And so you've got to be effective online. You need a great website, and you need a good online presence.
Mm-hmm. What is one mistake that you've learned from over the years? Maybe your number one mistake that you could share here.
Oh, I've made a ton of them. I probably made every mistake you can. I just kept at it, though, and I'm not even smart enough to learn after the first time I screw it up. Sometimes it takes me making the same mistake two or three times. In the beginning, I just went out and took listings with very little information and no upfront fee, and I probably sold 10% of what I took on. But I took on lots, and so selling 10% looked pretty good.
Mm.
And then I started to think about, all those sellers who I didn't sell, they're going to be unhappy. And long-term, they're going to badmouth me, and I'm going to end up with a terrible reputation, and people won't work with me. If I want to have longevity in my market in this industry, I better find a way to get my close rate up to actually sell more of what I list.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing a much better marketing package and collecting a lot more information. And that helped. That took me from 10% up to about 30. And then I said, that's not enough yet. I better get this up higher. So I started doing a business valuation, in a formal valuation on every business, so that I could set the expectations of the seller in terms of what was the market value of his business. And that got me up to about a 50% close rate. And then I said, I think I'm going to start charging them money up front so I know I have a committed seller. If he won't write me a check, then how do I know he's committed to this whole process? So I started charging for the valuations up front. And now I've got about a 70% close rate. I know how to get it higher, but I don't want to, because the way to get it higher is be more selective. And that means we would turn down a lot of sellers. And really, we're trying to help people. I mean, the business is about helping people to achieve their goals. And I don't want to turn down that many. So I'm comfortable with our close rate at about 70% now.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds pretty good to me. I mean, with little experience, that sounds like a pretty successful, turnaround.
Well, if you consider, because I've checked the numbers from a number of states. If you look at Florida, for example, there's a lot of business brokers in Florida. And they belong to one of two different associations. The average close rate seems to be about 11%. I mean, they're back where I was 10 years ago. And I'm sure that it's because we do a more thorough job of analysis, a better job of valuation, a great job of packaging, and a great job of marketing. All those advertising things I mentioned cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I probably spend $300,000 a year in this office alone on marketing. But it all comes back.
Mm-hmm.
you end up in a dominant situation so that when somebody thinks of selling their business, they don't even think about my competitors. They just call us.
Mm-hmm. What is
I've always believed that if you want to be successful, you have to dominate the market you're in, not be a little player in it. And the secret to that is you've got to segment your market down to something that you can dominate.
Mm.
And that's why I say starting off in one industry, if I was starting again as a single broker in one industry, I might be able to become dominant in my local city in that one industry. There's no way that when I start out I'm going to dominate the market in the whole city.
Mm.
So specialization and focus can enable you to segment the market down to something you can dominate so that you can succeed. There's a guy named David Dow, used to be the vice president of Intel, wrote a great book that explained market segmentation. That's how Intel became such a giant, was they understood addressing the quality of product and service and the method of delivery, et cetera, to the specific niche market that they were attacking.
This may be something you've already shared, but do you have maybe your number one $10,000 tip for being a successful business analyst or a broker?
Okay, are we talking about somebody who owns the office, or are we talking about somebody who's working on their own?
Well, I guess if you have one in general,
you got two different ones. If Jim Collins, in his book Good to Great, mm-hmm. I don't know if you read the book, but it's an excellent book, and I do recommend mm-hmm. it. Jim says, the first rule of going from good to great is to get the right people on the bus.
Mm.
So if you're trying to build an office, get the very best people that you can get, the most talented, empathetic, communicative people who have the experience and who are comfortable in a commission-only environment. This commission-only stuff is tough for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
If you go from a job where you're used to getting a paycheck every month to business brokerage where you might be 6 months before you see your first paycheck, and then they're intermittent after that, that's a tough adjustment for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my tip for somebody who's trying to build an office. For somebody who's trying to do business brokerage on their own, the number one tip, I think it's got to be make sure that you set the expectations of your client and then exceed them by a little bit.
Mm.
To me, that's the secret of happy clients. If you come to my garage and I tell you, I'll do your brake job, it's going to cost you $420. And then when we're done, the bill comes in at $450, you're not pleased.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you come and I tell you, it's going to cost $480 and it comes in at $450, you're happy. Well, what was the difference? I charged the same $450, but now I got, a happy client and an unhappy client. The difference was, what was their expectations? We tell our clients in small businesses it's going to take us on average 3 to 9 months to sell their business, and it might take longer. And we sign a long-term engagement, typically 1 year with a one-year trailer. And they don't expect to have it sold in 3 months. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if they do expect that, I don't take them as a client because I can't meet those expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So, setting the expectations and being able to exceed them by a little bit is a real key to success.
Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I got to tell you, this is the most rewarding profession that I can imagine.
Mm.
I've always been a do-gooder, trying to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, this is an opportunity where you get to help people achieve their goals, to buy a business that enables them to support their family, to build wealth, to achieve a desired position in their community, etc. And for the sellers, you're helping them into retirement or whatever is next in their life. And so there's great personal satisfaction, and I end up becoming friends with all of our customers. And the nice bonus is I get well paid to do it.
So yeah, it's not bad.
It's also the most taxing, challenging job you're ever going to get. The emotional ups and downs that you ride are difficult for a lot of people to handle. Deals fall apart. They come back together. They fall apart. You know, for many people, that's an emotional roller coaster.
It sounds like it could be one.
But it's great fun, and it will use every bit of talent and skill and experience you have, and you'll get to help a lot of people to a better life. And if you get to be good at it, you'll make a lot of money.
Well, very cool. Thank you so much for sharing all of your expertise here, Greg. It's been great listening.
Well, I'm glad to do it. And if your listeners are looking for advice or guidance or whatever, you can pass out my email address, and I'd be glad to help whoever needs it.
Great. Well, thank you again, Greg. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
All right. Have a great afternoon.
All right. Bye, Ashley.
Bye.